All right. First of all, I want to say good morning and happy Sabbath. Can you hear me?
Yes. Happy Sabbath.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, last week I had all the problems in the world trying to be heard. My daughters came up to, they got it squared away. Woke up this morning and I had no internet connection. And while we were having Sabbath school, Brother Ziegler came over, got me connected again with the internet. And so I just want to say thank the Lord for his mercy and his goodness. This week been a very difficult week. And I look at things in a different way. And I realize and understand that God is in the soul-saving business. And somebody may hear a word this morning from his word. And that's why I've been harassed all week and all night. Couldn't sleep. But I thank God for his word. I want to say I enjoyed the Sabbath school lesson. And the reason why they kept calling you Elder Green, Ronnie, was because I was supposed to be teaching this morning. And I'm thankful to know that you filled my shoes. You did a good job. You had to step up your game, but you did a real good job. And Lord bless. It was a real good lesson. I thank God for that. I know that we're living in difficult times. I want to apologize to my elder Johnson because the scripture reading was actually from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1 through 11. But I understand, and I want you to understand, that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is my favorite chapter. And if I have given that to you, it's always on my mind because I read it almost every day. And I may have given you the wrong text this morning. But in the lesson, as we study this morning, I'll bring out the text that I really want to speak about a little bit in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Title of the message this morning is In a Holding Place. In watching the launching of spacecrafts, and as we sit back and I looked at the movie Hidden Figures, one of the terms that they use during this movie and the launching of the vessel is you may hear a phrase that go T minus five and holding. The holding part is for a reason, is because when they begin to make the countdown. And while they're doing the countdown, before they complete the countdown, the scientists, the engineers, and all the other people, the mathematicians, and everyone who have a part in the launching process have to go through some different things before all systems are go. They have to go through a countdown. And during that countdown, they put the vessel in a holding pattern. And during that time, they go through a checklist to see if all systems are go. And so it takes a minute. It takes a few minutes. It takes a while. Sometimes it takes days, hours, before they finally launch the spacecraft. Today, I believe that we are in a holding pattern. In fact, God has a holding pattern. He told his people, he told the disciples to go into the upper room and wait. We can consider that a holding pattern. Wait until I send the Holy Ghost and give you power. So today, I believe that we're in a holding power for a reason. I hear many people saying that the reason why all the things are taking place in the world today is that God is trying to wake up the world. And I believe that. I believe that God is trying to wake up the world. But in my thinking, it just keeps ringing in my head that God's going to wake up the world through us. Ellen White prayed a prayer, a one-sentence prayer, and her prayer was, Lord, wake us up. It wasn't, Lord, wake up the world. It was, Lord, wake us up. And so this morning, I believe that prayer that Ellen White prayed is still resonating, and God is trying to wake up his people so that we can wake up the world. And so we're in a holding pattern. And in the process of this holding pattern, there are some things that we have to look at as a checklist and see if all things are okay. And the verse that I want to share with you is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And hear what Paul said. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves. During the time of this holding pattern, God wants us to take a minute to check out and see if all things are okay in our life, if all things in our lives are right, and prepare for him to give us power to take the everlasting gospel to a dying, sin-sick world. You notice that it was a personal thing. He didn't say, examine Elder Green, or examine the pastor, or examine anyone else. He said, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Many times we have a tendency of looking at others and looking at them and judging them. But we need to start looking at ourselves. And the measuring rod we want to use this morning and examine ourselves is taken in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. You want to go, if you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. And the verse we want to start off with this morning is let me get my Bible. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, if I'm correct. No, verse 14. And here's what the Bible says. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodicea write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the end and the creation of God. First of all, I want to say to us, that it's important for us to understand that Laodicea does not just apply to us as Seventh-day Adventists. in fact, when you read it and you study it, you find out that it applies to every Christian, every individual who calls on the name of Jesus. This message applies to. Now, of course, it applies to us more significantly because of the message that we have and the responsibility and the obligation and the privilege that God has given us to share the everlasting gospel. The shame of it all is that many will not be able to get this message because they believe that the book of Revelation is a closed book. So most Christians can't get it. And so we have that responsibility to go and share and wake them up that they may understand and realize that when they call on the name of Jesus, a responsibility rests on them. One question was asked about Laodicea. And it goes like this. What is Laodicea? After all, but programmed non-responsive. Or what is Laodicea but a list of things that need to be reformed, but we don't do anything about it. Laodicea is a state of mind. It's a state of mind along with it being the last day church, it's a state of mind that we fall into where we know these things. We know there need to be some things in our lives that we need to overcome and reform. As Cliff was talking about a revival and reformation, we know it, but we don't do anything about it. We're in a stage where Christ says that we're lukewarm. He said our spiritual condition is a lukewarm condition. And we need to be awakened. This morning, I want to go through a few things and share a few things with you. And I want you to look at yourself. That's what we're doing this morning, examining ourselves. And see if any of these things that I mentioned this morning that make up the lukewarm condition is in your life. See if you fit into one of these categories of these four different elements that make up the lukewarm state. Because there are four elements that make up the lukewarm state, and I'm going to share them with you and see if you fit into any of them, okay, as we examine ourselves this morning. The first thing is deficient, deficient in Christian fervor and devotion. Are you deficient in Christian fervor and devotion? Do you lack passion? Do you lack emotions, warm emotions? Do you lack zeal for righteousness and holiness? Do you lack love towards others and for your fellow man? Do you lack devotion? When we talk about devotion, we're talking about piety, loyalty, deep affections. Do you lack being totally devoted to Jesus Christ? Are you totally devoted? Are you deficient when it comes to your devotion? Number two is unwillingness to die to self and to follow closely the principles of our faith. There are things and instructions that God has given us, and Ronnie was, and they were talking about the principles this morning that God has given us. And we have so much information, so much counsel, so much. Are we practicing these principles? Are we just ignoring them? Are we really denying ourselves, or is everything we do based on selfishness and self-centeredness? It's important for us to follow out closely the principles that God has laid out for us as a people. Number four, what another element that make up the lukewarm status? Not being engaged thoroughly and wholeheartedly in the work of God, and not being identified or not identifying ourselves with it and its interests. It's important for us as Adventists to understand and realize that there are things that we as a people do. There's work in the church. Are you really involved? Are you really interested in the things that's taking place? Are you just going along with, just like it is? It don't really make a difference. Are you interested in the work that's going on? Are you interested in wholeheartedly in winning in holding souls and molding souls? Too many of us are not engaged thoroughly in the work of God and in the interests of all that's taking place in the church, in the worldwide church. The fourth thing that make up the Laodicean state is that the internal work of grace is wanting in our lives. We find ourselves so many times not being like Jesus, not being able to bring comfort and help to others because we lack the grace of God in our own lives. This is what make up the Laodicean state. And if any of these things fit us this morning, then we need, by God's grace, to pray and plead and beg that he would help us. I want to read something for you real quick. Taken from, it's coming out of the the commentaries. It's talking about the lukewarm state, and here's how it identifies the lukewarm state and those of us who are in it. Talking about being lukewarm, it said the temperate spiritual condition of the Laodicean church, check this word out, was more dangerous than if the church had been cold. Lukewarm Christianity preserved enough of the form and of the contents of the gospel to dull the perceptive powers of the spirit and render men oblivious to the earnest effort necessary to attain the high ideas of a victorious life in Christ. The typical Laodicean Christian is content with things as they are and proud of the little progress he has made. It is almost impossible to convince him of his great need and of how far he is from the gospel of perfection. We're falling into a frame of mind where we content with what's going on. We're proud of the little progress that we make. We're just glad and to be able to call on, be able to say, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. And in reality, with no deep conviction and no zeal to want to do right and live a life of holiness and righteousness, no desire to reach the level that Christ is calling us to reach, which is the level of a status of perfection. In other words, a status of growing and growth and mature in Jesus Christ. Too many of us, if we find ourselves where we're satisfied and everything is okay, and we're happy to where we are, and we really don't need to go no further, then we're in the Laodicean state. A sad state to be in. In fact, it says that Revelations chapter 3 and verse 15 says, I know thy work, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were hot or cold or hot, solely because thou art lukewarm, which is a condition that Christ hate, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is a sad commentary for us as a people. It's a sad commentary because the phrase spew out of my mouth means this, that Jesus cannot offer up your prayers or your expressions of love to God, that he, Jesus, cannot endorse your teachings of his word or spiritual work in any wise, and that he, Jesus, cannot present your religious exercises with the request that grace be given to you. And that's found in Testimonies, Volume 6, page 408. This is the condition that so many of us can find ourselves in if we are in the Laodicean state and not overcoming day by day. Got my nuts a little mixed up right here. But the good news, folk, and I'm not trying to stay here all day, but I want us to understand and realize that Christ is trying to do something for us while we're in this holding pattern. He's trying to get us to realize and understand that we're not going to be able to succeed in the work that he's given us to do if we don't overcome some things, and if we don't look closely at ourselves, and if we don't seek him for the power that's necessary to do the work. So I want to share something with you, a few more things with you this morning. What I want to help us to understand is that there is good news in this chapter. When we look at this chapter and we see different things that's going on, there is good news. In fact, let me read something to you. Let me read it to you real fast. Then I'm going to share a few more things with you in this book. It goes on to say, and after the chapter, so because I spew up my mouth, because thou sayest that I'm rich, and I heard Cliff bring it out this morning, increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. And then he says, Jesus says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And then he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. God calls the Laodicean church and us who are Laodiceans to repent. And when we repent, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. As I was reading this week, I discovered that the door that Jesus is at, saying that he's standing at, is a special door. And it's not the door of offered opportunities, that's in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 3. Nor is it the door of salvation, which is given to us, or that's open in Matthew 25 and verse 10. It is not the door in Luke 13:25, which is also the door of salvation. It says, these doors God opened and shut. The door here is under the control of each individual. That's us. It's under the control of men. And it's up to us if we would open it or if we would shut it. And we can do that at any time. So check this out. There are four ways that Christ want to come in the door. And here's what it says. Christ awaits each man's decision whether or not we open the door. This is the door to a man's soul that he's talking about this morning. He's talking about us opening the door of our soul to him. And here's how we do it. And it goes on to say, by his love, that is the love of Christ, through his word and through his provisions, Christ knocked at the door of our emotions. Number two, by his wisdom, he knocked at the door of our mind. By his lordship, he knocks at the door of our mind. By and at the door. And by his lordship, he knocked at the door of our conscience. And by his promise, let me go back through that one more time. Number one, by his love, through his word, and through his providence, Christ knocked at the door of our emotions. Number two, by his wisdom, he knocks at the door of our mind. Number three, by his lordship, he knocked at the door of our conscience. And number four, and by his promises, he knocks at the door of our hope. So Christ is knocking at the door. We have control of the door, whether or not we're going to let him in or not. The door that he wants to come in, he's not going to bust down. He's not going to use a no-knock warrant. He's not going to come in like he did with the disciples in the upper room. This door is up to us because it's the door of our souls. Are we going to let him in willingly? The door only we can open. Someone said that the door has a handle only on the inside. And so we have to open him. We have to take the lock off and open the door so he can come in. And he said, when I come in, I'll sup with you. He said, he'll come in. And he said that he would sup with us. So it's important for us to understand that Christ is standing at the door and he's knocking at the door of our heart. When we let him in, Christ will grant to us his righteousness. And he will grant us his righteousness. And when we accept, or when he grants us his righteousness, we can receive that righteousness, number one, by admitting that we're sinners. Number two, or submitting our will to him. Number three, by committing our lives entirely into God's hand. And number four, by permitting him to reveal his righteousness to us and also living out his life in and through us and making his making this a process that takes place every day in our lives. We're in a holding zone on the holding pattern for a reason, saints. Because it's important for us. We need this time to understand and realize that we have to gain the victory over a lot of things in our life. There's a lot of things that need reform in our lives. One of them is health reform. I was reading a book by an old Adventist lady back in the days of Ellen White. And I'm gonna make this statement and I want you to accept it. But here's what she said in a health book. She was writing about health. She said, the only reason why God's people should need a doctor is for teaching and counseling. Nothing else. If we practice health reform, we won't need the need of a doctor. If we, as Pastor would bring out today, obey the 8 natural laws. We won't. That's those are the doctors, the 3 doctors that God has given us. He's given us, and he's given us counsel and principles. But we as a people, we've fallen far so away from God, and it's always baffled me. Why? There's so many, we as a church have more medical facilities than we have natural health places. That was God's plan for us as a people. There's a lot of things we need to have reformed in our life. Listen to Elder last week speaking about tithes and offerings and giving and finances. We don't realize sometimes that we need to have our spending reformed in our lives. We spend money so many different ways. And I read a little statement was that, and the statement, I think it said that, okay, let me get it right. we should be putting out treasures into the Lord's storehouse. And the thing, other things that we spend our treasures on, we have to be real careful, because many of them, many of the funds that we spend today, it says go into Satan's war chest. So the funds we spend just willy-nilly on any little thing, that's things that's necessary, just throwing money away, it goes into Satan's war chest. Now, that bothered me when I read that. And I started thinking I need to be real careful, because the war he's waging is against God's people. So why would I finance that? Why would we finance the war that's being waged on us by spending money any kind of way and putting money into any little thing? We got to be careful. We got to overcome some things in our lives, saints. There's a few more things that I just want to point out in before closing. And Christ says he'll come and sup with us. And the supper that he's talking about is a supper that takes place in heaven at the great feast, the great banquet hall. That's his desire. So while we're in the holding pattern, let us prepare for the outpour of the Holy Ghost. While we're in the holding pattern, as we brought out earlier, let us examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. Check out what we're doing and check out the motive as to why you did it or why you're doing it. We need to understand and realize that in order for us to proclaim the last day gospel message to a dying world, we need the power of the Holy Ghost, and we cannot receive the power of the Holy Ghost to finish the work unless we surrender our lives to Jesus, unless we realize and understand that we have to come out of this layer of the sin state that we're in, and we need allow Christ to give us the victories over these things that so easily beset us, things that holding us into slavery and to captivity to this world. We're going to have to overcome the world. And the greatest battle that we have is the battle over self. I said I wasn't going to be long, and I'm closing up. It's my prayer and plea that someone have taken a look at themselves. Someone is taking a better look at God's plan for them, their life. And someone today is making a decision to go all the way with Jesus. So I want to thank you for the time, dear saints. And our time is moving to eternity. And I pray and plead that it has been fruitful, been to God's glory. It has been a message that would help someone to rethink some things in their lives and refocus on that which God would have us to do. Thank you. God bless you.